Hey, welcome back to Cindy's Birthday Party, the hip-hop podcast that looks at hip-hop and rap music from a philosophical and historical perspective. And our topic today, this is the third segment, and we've been discussing the influences of fashion in hip-hop, and more specifically, hip-hop fashion and its influences on American culture in general. So we kind of left off with the late 80s, I guess, yeah. You would say. So as we start to make a transition, late 80s into the early 90s, we're seeing new brands come onto the scene. You know, we got Grand Puba talking about Tommy Hilfiger.
Right. Yep.
This is, folks, for you youngsters who don't know, there used to be a time you could buy a Tommy Hilfiger and JCPenney.
Yep. Yeah, sure could.
Can't do that no more.
Nah.
Right?
He has his own store, by the way.
Right, right. But at this point, you know, remember Puba said, and I actually wrote it down, Jabot's hanging baggy Hilfiger on the top, knapsack on my back, that's just my flavor hop.
Right.
Like, that was a thing, you know, and I'd never even heard of Tommy Hilfiger at that point.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. But you had guys still, you had rappers putting that influence out there. We start to see the real major influence of Nike shoes, specifically the Jordan brand, starting to take off.
Yes.
A lot of that also is due to rappers.
Yep.
Either talking about wearing the Jordans in the videos.
Yep.
That was a thing, you know. And so now we're at a point, early 90s, where corporations are really starting to benefit.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a couple pair of them Jordans, so I know.
Oh, I did. The first three pair of Jordans I had. I remember the very first ones I had, the red and blacks, they were $65. And I remember I convinced my mom to buy those shoes. For $65. The pair of sneakers I had before that, by the way, were some suede Pumas that were $40.
Yep.
My dad had already had a fit over those. you could have got you a nice pair of Stacy's or some Florsheim's, he said.
Florsheim's.
And then when he found out mom got me some 65. See, that's the good thing about having a mom. You know, women, it's not as difficult to convince them about shoes.
Yes.
It's like, mama, these shoes right here.
Right. I need these in my life,
because, you know, they can always relate to you on shoes, because women love shoes, generally speaking.
Why is it always the dad that dislike the shoes that you like?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's all dads. I just know mine.
I was going to say, because my dad rocks suede Pumas.
Right.
He was cool with them. My dad imitated him.
My dad loved shoes, but it just had to be hard-bottom dress shoes, because that was their thing.
That was their thing.
Right. If I was to tell my dad, I'm about to go, let's go get these $100 pack Gators, then he like, yeah, let's go do it.
Right.
But if I ask him, hey, Pop, could you get them suede Pumas for me? He'd be like, boy, you don't get your clown behind out my face.
Right, because the hip-hop generation, so to speak, is the first generation that equated nice shoes with sneakers.
Yes.
Right.
Before that, nice shoes were always dress shoes.
They were always dress shoes.
Yeah. Not that they still aren't, but they were just, you know, like, you now you can turn on your TV and you watch ESPN or something, and you'll see guys in a tailored suit with a pair of sneakers.
They were quote unquote your Sunday best. That's what they were.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but a lot of that is, I believe, can be directly attributed to rap music, to hip hop culture.
Absolutely.
And that sneakers became the dress shoe.
Exactly. The comfortable dress shoe of today is now the sneaker. I watched Channel 2 News anchor, the sports dude, whatever his name is, something Klein, and he's got there's a female now who's his, like, co-anchor on the little show they do, the Friday night high school highlights. He's wearing a suit with some sort of sneaker on.
Yep.
She's got on a dress with the same sneakers on, a short skirt with, she's got like a tennis skirt, knee high, with the same sneakers on. And no shoes, no heels, none of that. Sneakers.
That's one of those things that we marvel at because of our age, because again, it's kind of like when we had the conversation on an earlier show about how rap music is everywhere now, and and we marvel at it because we can remember a time when it wasn't everywhere,
it wasn't on the radio. It was looked at as inappropriate.
Right, and now you can see people on television, professionals.
Yes.
Like I said, you know, with expensive clothes on many times, and they're wearing sneakers.
Yep.
And that is acceptable, because look,
think about it.
Sneakers now, especially when you talk about, you know, LeBron or KD or Jordans, you're paying $200.
Yeah. They plus. Running $199, $189 a pop.
Right, you know, so it's not like you're talking about some cheap shoes.
Right.
And I think that used to be the perception of sneakers was
The perception of sneakers when we were coming up was they were outdoor shoes for kids to go outside and play in.
Yep.
They weren't meant
tennis shoes.
Right, they're tennis shoes.
Yeah, that's what they call them.
They're not meant to be anything fashionable per se, at least to our parents. You know, your dad thought, like your dad, Danny, thought, hey, if we going out on the town or I'm going to look sharp, I got to put on some hard bottoms, some Stacys or something.
It's
sneakers
funny,
are something to run around in and play in.
Right. And my parents, if they paid more than $65 for a pair of shoes, I had to take them off when I got out of school.
Yeah. You know,
right.
Yeah.
They had to
take them off.
The good shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
I had to go put the old shoes on when I want to go play. If I want to go play ball,
go
I
outside,
had to put the old shoes.
Dude, there's no – right. And funny how your parents actually then they took notice of what shoes, what sneakers I should say – were considered like good shoes.
Yes.
Like they knew that they paid that $85 for those Jordans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they paid strict attention to when you had those on your feet. Like,
and they
where you
sure
going with those
clean.
Shoes?
Yeah.
I'm going outside to play. You better
take those on
and put on your shoes from last year.
Yep.
You know.
That's right.
And think about too the brands of shoes that sneakers that became like British Knights.
British Nikes.
And Troops.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and remember the Patrick Ewing sneakers, which I still love, by the way.
Tree Torn.
But a lot of many brands of sneakers, Lottos.
I was just about to
they became popular because of hip-hoppers.
Lecoq Sportif.
Yes.
Yeah. Had some sneakers.
You know, and they're still big in France.
Right. It's big in France. Yeah. Big overseas. But you'll never see anybody wearing those. You will see somebody wearing them, but that's somebody who has a little sense of their own style, and that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Lottos.
I had a pair of Lottos.
Busta Rhymes, Charlie Brown, and that was leaders of the new school brand.
I had a pair of all white tree torn shoes. That's what they call them, tree torn. It was like a little V that was on, and they were like the all whites, and you had to wear them with the short outfits and all.
Uh-huh.
That.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. But it's just that it's funny because a lot of those brands they don't exist in the same to the same level that they did anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, because of hip hop.
Yeah,
right.
And I think that British Knights, I mean. They must have been like it just felt like the hip hop community carried those completely. And
yes.
Then when they got finished with them,
they were done. Same thing with Troop.
When they were finished with Troop, it was done.
And wasn't there some sort of scandal with either British Knights or Troop where
it was Troop?
It was the Klan
it
had
was Troop.
Something to do with
MC
it. Yeah.
Shan even said something to that effect in a rhyme when he was talking about his Pumas because Shan was big with the suede Pumas.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could really give. The rise of the suede Pumas on some level, you can attribute that to him.
Yeah.
But he said something in a rhyme about he wears Pumas because he doesn't wear the British Knights or the Troop, because they're made by the Klan or something like
that. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
It was some rumor saying that if you wore the clothes, if you open it up the line and you would see they would have some type of symbol showing.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I never had a pair of Troops.
No, I didn't wear a Troop.
Yeah, quite honestly, I thought Troop was corny. I really did. I don't care if LL
jackets,
had them.
Though.
The jackets were tight. LL's jacket was tight.
Yeah.
Do y'all remember Stetsasonics talking all that jazz?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They had on the all-white Troop suit.
Yes. I remember the all-white Troop suit.
Now, those were fresh. But, you know, Eric, to a point you made earlier, even in that video when I was looking at that, they have on the white Troop sneakers, but those sneakers are not, like, pristine, like what we would normally associate with sneakers.
Right, yeah.
Mm. But they're Troop suits?
Yes.
Yeah,
if I had one of those on, don't even talk to me.
Right, man. my fantasy was to have it was like a Troop, like the all white Troop suit, but I wanted the all white MCM suit. But that would probably
cost you $1,000.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. That's what I wanted. I wanted the all white Troop suit. But of course, it was like 9 of us in the house, so I couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Right. Well, hey. Yeah, y'all would have had
Everybody would have had to pitch in.
And you'd have had to wear that suit.
Yes.
Share it or something. Yeah.
Maybe once a year, you know, I'll be allowed to wear it like once a year or something like that.
So as we get into the 90s, a few things we start to see, I think, are going on.
Mm-hmm.
One, rappers are kind of having an awakening.
Yep.
You know, we had a point, especially in the early 90s, where social consciousness is really dominating the culture.
Mm. Right.
And, you know, and Chuck D says, I like Nike, but wait a minute. The neighborhood supports, so put some money in it.
Right.
It's like people are starting to question things. Remember Ice Cube saying, stop giving juice to the Raiders because Al Davis never paid us.
Yes.
Because Raider gear was rampant. Like
West Coast.
To the point where the Raiders were number one in the NFL in apparel sold, even though they weren't the most popular team in the league.
And NWA made that
pop. NWA made that pop. The West Coast in particular. And the way Raiders gear everywhere. Remember, the Chicago White Sox changed their uniforms
so that black and white.
Exactly.
Because they had, what were they called, like gray, red, and
they
blue
had
or something
blue,
like that?
Yeah, like a blue, red, and gray.
And they had like the
whites,
the socks going on.
Right. When they went to that White Sox cap, their revenue from apparel took off. Same thing with the L.A. Kings. When the L.A. Kings changed their uniforms up and they
went to that black and silver color.
They started, everybody wanted to have black in there because they were trying to capitalize off of what had happened with the Raiders. It happened to varying degrees of success.
Yes.
But what they didn't understand is it wasn't just because it was black. It was because of who was wearing it.
Because who was wearing it. And the funny thing about it is the only people that benefited from it was the corporation itself.
Right. And that's why Ice Cube said stop giving juice to the Raiders because Al Davis never paid us. Al Davis is making all this money off of y'all buying all this Raiders gear. And Al Davis is not putting any money in anybody's pocket.
I got a quick question, man. All right, so you remember back in the early 90s before like the FUBUs had gotten popular or whatever. You remember these companies like Used and Damage and Cross Colors? Who owned
those?
Who owned those?
I assume that Cross Colors was owned by some black dudes, wasn't
it?
I think it was. Cross Colors, I'm glad you mentioned that because like Cross Colors, FUBU later, Carl Kanai.
Right.
These were all black designers.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I think Cross Colors may have been first out of
that
group.
I think Cross Colors was
first.
No. It was I know down in the South we had these two brands first before Cross Colors just blew everything out the water. It was Damage. They called it Damage and they called it Used. Because I just remember I remember somebody came to my school with a pair of Used jeans, and everybody was like, where you get those from? And all of a sudden, it just blew, and everybody was wearing the whole outfits. And then when the Damage came out, it was the same thing. It was like, man, everybody was trying to rock the Damage. But when the Cross Colors came out, it was like, it exploded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Cross Colors was big.
Yes.
Yeah, Cross Colors, very big. This was early 90s. I had just joined the Air Force, 91. And, you know, leaving college and finding my own way. And Cross Colors was part of my little accessorizing thing. You know, you had to you had to have the Cross Colors, but you had to match them with, at the time, Starter had started coming into play very big. Their
the
jackets.
First guys, I'll let you finish. The first guys, I'm going to ask you this, too. The first guys I remember seeing wearing Starter was actually Jazzy Jeff.
Yep.
Right.
As far as rappers go.
Because he had the Sixers gear.
Yeah. That was the first time I saw, somebody's wearing Starter gear.
Starter gear, And, they took off as far as with sports paraphernalia. Sports in which I think black people really didn't give too much credence to were now getting stolen off the – not stolen, but taken off the shelves. You had your baseball teams. Nobody cared about – the Colorado Rockies.
Right.
I didn't, but I had a Colorado Rockies sweatshirt and baseball jersey because of them. But I like baseball just as a side note. I'm a big baseball
LA
fan.
Kings,
the LA Kings.
Black people following hockey.
Nobody.
At all.
And
at all.
Swinging, and even swinging into that, you get the hockey jersey phenomenon starts coming out.
Yep.
I had about five of them. Now, mind you, I grew up in New York watching hockey. I like the Islanders. But you knew a lot of black kids – you don't know nothing about hockey, but
the appeal
rocking.
Of the hockey jersey was it was baggy, which because we were entering an era too where the clothes were starting to get baggier and looser.
And looser,
you know, we went from in the late '80s, early '90s, from you know if you were a 30 waist, which I might have been back then,
you wore 30 pants.
You might have started wearing 32 pants because you wanted to, quote unquote bust a sag. Now not sag all the way off of your behind like they do now. That's totally different. But to have the clothes sag just a little bit, that was a fashion statement.
Right. We actually wore clothes, belts with our jeans, but they just sag because the pants were too big.
Right. The belt was still there to hold the pants up, but the pants were made too sag.
You have to have some looseness in it.
Exactly.
Gone were the days of jeans being like Jordache and Sergio Valente, form-fitting,
right
up on you, straight leg.
Right.
As grandma used to say, trying to show shape.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we stopped doing that.
Yeah.
But the hockey jerseys, Eric, to your point, were a big part of that because the hockey jerseys were again, one of the things about hip-hop culture was we had entered an era where I don't know if it was because of defiance or we just because of a more laid-back attitude, but the clothes started to be more loose-fitting and it started to get bigger.
I'll attribute some of that, too, to videos themselves. This is now we have crossed in an area where MTV has gone into showing Yo MTV Raps. You're getting rap videos, and these are what the guys in the rap videos are wearing. I recall, not that he was the main influence for me wearing hockey jerseys, but it was interesting to see Snoop Dogg in the Gin and Juice video with a custom, some sort of hockey jersey he had on. Yep. And I think throughout the video, he's wearing some sort of hockey jersey, but it's a hockey jersey. And you know, like, come on, man, Snoop ain't watching no damn hockey. But he's got one on. And we saw that video, and it's like, okay, now the rush is on to go out and get hockey jerseys. I myself had about five of them. You know, so
and see the funny thing about it, like in Atlanta, like nobody really was Falcon fans in a sense because we were a terrible team at the time. But when the Falcons adopted in 1990, when they adopted the black, white, and red, it's like everybody in Atlanta started rocking.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I remember that specifically when the Falcons went from that red and black like they used to have.
It was black.
In the Jerry Glanville era, they started wearing black. Like you would see Falcons gear everywhere. And now I'm not just talking about in Atlanta. I'm talking about all over the country.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And MC Hammer was one of the catalysts that started rocking the Falcons.
And he was.
Yeah. And it's true to form, like you say, Danny, these sort of small changes by a team can influence how they are portrayed out in public. Prime example I would think of is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The ugliest creamsicle uniforms ever. Nobody was going to wear that out in the street. When they made the change over to that crimson and pewter.
They was killing it.
Tribe Called Quest video. For Find a Way.
When they're on the beach.
Fife is rocking a Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey. You know, that right there is just a small example of, you know,
it's
where.
It's like during the 90s, it was all about the coloring. It was all about, let's add.
Well, colors
this.
Make a big difference. Yeah. Bold colors. Yes. Reds, blacks. These are strong colors that, you know, hip hoppers, you know, went to at the time. You know?
And that's the whole thing is that hip hop made, it took sports apparel from, this is my team, so I'm wearing this because it's my team. This is my, I'm wearing this because I like these colors.
This way it looks good.
And
right.
many of the teams that led, that were top two and three in apparel sold and all of this revenue.
Were terrible.
Fan base to speak of whatsoever. But they had a cool uniform. Or a logo or something that people like. There's exceptions, right? So like the Georgetown Hoyas.
Right. They were good, and
they had gear. You know, they had some fly gear that people wanted to wear. But a lot of these teams, nobody didn't care. You know, like we do talk about the Colorado Rockies.
They were a new expansion team, so they were
Not only that, they could only hit the ball when they were at home.
At home,
no atmosphere.
They had no air.
Them and the Florida Marlins. I had a Rockies jersey and a Marlins jersey. And the Marlins, nobody cared about the Marlins when they first came out, but they had that teal. Some of the jerseys had black outlines on it. It was just something different. Charlotte Hornets gear became kind of big.
I thought the colors were terrible, but people was rocking it because it was almost like the Carolina Blues.
It was just something different. And this ties into the cross colors era.
Right.
Now we're getting into more colorful type things.
And the greatest example of a an emblem, a logo, whatever, not where people are wearing it and it's not necessarily tied to their allegiance to a team is the New York Yankees cap. You can go anywhere in the world. Somebody's got on a damn Yankees cap
and knows nothing
and
about
they don't
baseball.
Know the first
now,
thing
me
about
myself
the
personally, I didn't wear nothing that was associated with the Yankees.
I hated
the Yankees.
Right. Well, a lot of people are like that, but I'm saying there's a lot of people all over the country that wore a Yankees cap because They like the color. They like the logo.
Yes.
And so, and it went with, it's, you know,
yeah, that navy blue. That navy blue and white be hitting if you think about
not
it.
Not to mention it's New York.
Yes.
And that in itself means something.
I hated
something.
It, man. I
it
hated
just,
it.
Yeah.
I think I maybe had one Yankees cap in my life. But everywhere I've been, I was in the military. I've been not all the way around the world, but halfway around it. And everywhere I went, I would see a doggone Yankees cap.
But the funny thing about it is, just to kind of, you know, speak from a regional standpoint, like anytime you would go overseas or anywhere, like America, it always associated with New York. It was always.
Yeah, New York has always been the cultural capital of the United States,
the
at least
United
in the 20th
States.
Century.
Yes.
It was that way.
Yes.
I think you can make a strong argument that the cultural capital of America now is Atlanta.
Yes.
Whether it's musically or with all of the movies that have been made here,
yes.
et cetera.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is true. I mean, and but globally, it's still seen that way in a lot of ways, Jose.
Right.
That's why, well, we'll save that for live and
right,
say
right.
We don't get too far off the subject.
Yeah, off
the
subject too much.
But with rappers, so many of them coming out of New York, it couldn't help. It certainly did not hurt to spread that influence of that NY logo that's on those hats.
Exactly.
Because they're wearing it everywhere and they're taking it everywhere.
Right, right. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to mention, too, before we get to really the meat of this, is I thought about Wu-Tang Clan and Clark Wallaby shoes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So these Clark Wallabies, the Wallabies were the shoes by Clarks, right?
Yes.
The ones you used to wear all the time.
Yeah.
So Ghost and Ray in particular, Ghostface, Killer, and Raekwon, they were always talking about these shoes.
Right.
You know, Ghostface has got them on the cover of his first album, et cetera. And they actually reached out to Clarks at one point and said, hey, you know, we're doing all this. Your sales have risen exponentially since we've been doing this. What's up? Give us And Clarks was basically told him, like, you know, go to hell.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As a result of that, they go back with RZA. So the story is, and they're like, you know what? We're going to start our own clothing line, which turns into WuWear.
Yeah.
But it's on a greater scale, we realize is around that same time is a lot of people are starting to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we making all this money for these guys?
Mm-hmm. And they don't want to give us the time of day.
Right. In many cases, they didn't even want anything to do with you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They didn't even want, despite the fact that they knew they were making money from your endorsement, your unpaid endorsement, they still didn't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah. Right. Did not want to acknowledge it.
Right. So Russell Simmons, who's already got a lot of money at this time, says, you know what? I'm going to start Fat Farm. Diddy start Sean John. This is a little later.
Exactly. A little later on.
The way, the producer got on a Sean John t-shirt right now.
Right. Our engineer, Daniel is sitting with
Daniel
Sean
with
John
the Sean
shirt
John
on.
Hurt. Shirt on.
He's probably being paid by Diddy.
right.
But and these admittedly, this comes a little bit after we've already had Cross Colors.
Yeah.
We've had Carl Kanai.
Well, right? I was gonna say leave out Carl Kanai and
his stuff was funky
and,
fresh, by the way.
What's
man.
Our boy off of Shark Tank?
FUBU.
Yes, FUBU.
Yeah,
Damon.
For us by us.
Yes. Yeah. LL was
LL
a big,
was rocking on
he
stuff.
Was one of the big guys who.
Do you know that LL mentioned FUBU in a Gap commercial and
that's
how they blew up?
Right. Yeah.
That's
absolutely true.
Insane. But again, this is for all of y'all who wanted to diss us a few weeks ago because we said LL was on the top, most influential.
Exactly.
That's why he's on this list.
That's why he's
don't
on the Mount Rushmore.
No garbage.
That's right.
Exactly. Daddy shows emotions. Gotten his feelings about that. Understandable,
hey, but the funny thing about it, people were straight in their feelings about us and LL.
They were
high,
but you
got to
really
truly understand
the
influence he had on the genre. Man did more than what you think he did, bro.
Right. And folks, I'm only joking. Trust me, you can complain about anything you want to complain about.
Yes.
All criticism is constructive criticism for a show like this because we're still in our infancy stages and we're still trying to really find our way.
Right, right.
But the point that I was getting to before I got sidetracked with foolishness, rappers and rap moguls are starting to realize that we can seize the means of production, so to speak, and we can start to do our own thing.
Yes.
Right.
And that was huge because they didn't just launch labels. You know, like I think one of the issues that Cross Colors had or Carl Kanai had is that they tended to be so trendy that they didn't last for very long.
Right. Speaking of that, Colors of Benetton. That was kind of a hot little thing for a minute.
Yeah, I remember.
For a hot minute.
Everybody wanted a Benetton band.
Exactly. I had a couple. I think I had a Benetton shirt, a couple of those. And like you say, they become almost niche a little bit too much. We grab onto it, and then just as fast as we grab onto it, it gets thrown by the wayside, never to get picked up again.
Right. It becomes very trendy.
Yeah.
So because it was so trendy, you had a situation where they didn't last, but apparently when Russell Simmons and when Sean Combs, when
Outkast,
Outkast did have a clothing, but Outkast's clothing line, did it, how long did Outkast?
It lasted, I would give it a good 5 years. Right. I don't think it is that, because Sean John's stuff is still relevant to this day.
Right, Sean John, and Fat Farm, but Fat Farm lasted for a very long time.
Yeah. I think Fat Farm might have lasted a decade or something like that. It was out for a while.
Right.
I just remember because I used to buy a lot of Outkast's apparel back when it was popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was going to go out. Me personally, I never thought it was going to go out of style, but I think more so because they took longer to in between projects, if you're out of sight, you're out of mind.
Shout out to Apple Bottom as well with Fat Farm, because the ladies definitely, Apple Bottom being kind of the branch off from Kamora Lee Simmons, that was for a good little piece here.
Right.
Was a hot brand for women, man. Some very nice looking things on some ladies.
We love the Apple Bottom jeans.
Shout out to that.
But yeah, but the main point here is that they were able to sustain that business model for a lot longer. I think sometimes with rappers, because I'm thinking of other rappers that have had clothing lines that were here and gone like that.
Yeah, like Rock-A-Wear, stuff like
that. Well, no, Rock-A-Wear was still
Rock-A-Wear's a long time. Yeah,
yeah, Rock-A-Wear is another one of those that's over a decade. But the point being is that some of them, it's the brand couldn't sustain. They couldn't sustain the brand any longer than they could their music career.
Right.
So when they were no longer hot, the brand wasn't hot anymore. And then it was gone.
That's how, I think a lot of the times when an artist, like back in the day, like, you know, when Master P, because I think he kind of like changed the game in a sense that he was putting albums out like every week, every couple months.
He was putting out
an album. But back then, most artists, they might go 2 or 3 years between projects. You know what I'm saying? So let's say if you got some apparel that's going to be out, the only way it's going to be popular is if at that time that group is popping. But in between, like I said, it's like an out of sight, out of mind type deal. So it's like, well, I ain't seen Outkast put out a project in a while. So therefore, I think the person that kind of revolutionized the fact that the fashion, that person's fashion is still out is Puffy, because he keeps himself in the limelight, due in part because he wants his clothing line to continue to sell. And then to top it off, it's kind of fresh, too. It's kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it is.
Well, here's the difference with that. Puffy took his stuff worldwide. It is legitimately considered a somewhat serious fashion label.
Yes. It's almost on the same.
Hence Daniel here wearing a Sean John shirt, and it's still here, whereas Puffy is not that influential in the music game anymore.
Exactly.
Bad Boy is not that. You know, they're not that anymore.
Like, you associate Sean John with, like, Polo Ralph Lauren. Like,
yeah, it is.
His stuff is global.
It is being sold
in
Macy's.
Yes.
In their
same price and all that.
It's high price stuff you find in Macy's now.
Yes.
Whereas, like you said, I think one of the things with the Outkasts, with their clothing line, because of their own differences within the two of them had, when they fade away, their stuff sort of goes with them.
And in some ways, like with Wu Wear, which was really hot for a minute.
Right.
And then as the Wu-Tang Clan's influence started to fade some, the Wu Wear was not a gear. Now, it's had a resurgence because of all of the things that the Wu-Tang Clan has done in the last couple of years, the anniversaries of albums and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of brought it back into the public consciousness. But it had faded off.
It faded off because a lot of them went solo.
To me, I associate that Wu, that W, It's like a Batman sign to me.
It is. It's a great logo.
Man, that's like one of the best logos I've ever seen.
And that's part of it, too, is that the logo, the branding, if you can create something that is instantly going to be in people's minds.
Right.
And that's what a lot of, you know, rappers, rap moguls, hip-hop associated people had figured out at one point in time.
Right, right.
My question now, though, is that if we transition a little bit more into the 21st century, why is it seems that there's so many rappers now, they still have that influence, but they're talking about Gucci.
Yeah.
They're talking about Fendi. Remember, for a little while there, Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown just blew Donna Karan up to where her stuff was just
Dolce & Gabbana.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
It's a lot of it's almost like we've gone in reverse. Where rappers, we started off talking about other brands, and then we got to a point in the 90s and early 2000s where we said, we're going to have our own brands, and we're going to blow that up. And now we've gone back to, even people like Jay-Z, for example, who spent time building Rockaway, right? And having this, and having a clothing label, and now, you know, you hear songs, you talking about Tom Ford.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand. I guess it's easier to get a big endorsement check from somebody who's already
then
got
to have your own
than it is to build your own.
I don't know, man. I don't mean to cut you. I'm sorry, E. I think the funny thing about it is, it's like, I think it's because they try to make it seem as if it's more high end. You know what I'm saying? Like back when we wore the MGMs and Gucci back in the day, we were kids, but we didn't care that it was knockoff. You know what I'm saying? But now it's like, well, I'm wearing Gucci, but this is like legit Gucci. It's like Gucci. You know what I'm saying?
It's like a case of it has to be. You know, if it's not expensive, you know. But again, though, my thing is, you can make your own stuff. And you can make it super expensive.
Yeah, I think just to quickly knock on this one with the Rockaware situation, I think a lot of it had to do with his relationship with Dame Dash.
Right.
Once a relationship gets fractured,
that's an excellent point.
It becomes where now you don't really want anything to do with Rockaware. You start shouting out other brands. So that's a very good point.
I'm just surprised that they didn't I'm surprised that he didn't go back down that road. Or maybe the guy who really understood the fashion game was Dame, and maybe not so much.
Not so much Jay. I agree with that.
Because I kind of wanted to correlate the way guys dress right now, the way we all dress from a hip-hop standpoint now versus, like, even back in the 90s, although we mentioned all these different brands, the look was almost the same. It was free, but you had your hip-hop look. Like, if you wore certain brands, you automatically associated it with hip-hop, where more so right now, like, you got dudes just dressing the way they want to dress. You got dudes dressing like they skateboarders, but it's associated with hip-hop. You got dudes dressing in fitted suits like they did in the 60s, but it's all associated with hip-hop.
Well, I think that's because hip-hop culture is American pop culture now.
There's no separation between the two. Right,
none at all. Everything, all of the designers know, like, at one time they tried to ignore everybody. Now they seek the rappers out because they need them. Nobody can give you a better endorsement for your clothing line than a rapper.
Or for anything. That's exactly right.
Because hip-hop culture is American culture. And it is, and to a certain extent, it is the world's culture.
Right.
If you don't believe it, go anywhere in the world, they rap.
Yeah. I mean, in dudes, you got dudes dressing up with soccer shirts on. You got dudes, you know what I'm saying, dressing up.
Yeah, because athletic gear has always been a part of it. Dudes always like athletic gear.
Ball players always associate themselves with hip hop. It's almost, you know, most of the guys, even though they're gonna be professional and they're gonna have their suits on, and like I said, they're gonna be their form fitted suit, but they're gonna have a fresh pair of Nikes on. They're gonna have a fresh pair of Jordans on. Now hip hop is everywhere. It's global in a sense, and it even influences pop music, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it does.
Back in the 90s and early 2000s, it was just hip-hop, and we all dressed a certain way, and that was it. Versus now, it's like that freedom has expanded to you just dress how the hell you want to dress. I mean, there's literally a dude that dressed up and had on a dress.
Yeah.
And he had a purse. Like, that's real talk. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily saying that I would dress like that, and I'm not saying that it was cool, but the freedom is, that's if that's what he chose to do, that's what he chose to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Well, clearly, yes.
Hey, Dang, they look like, oh, man, I ain't really want to say that. But
no, you say what you want to.
That's the real deal, you know what I'm saying?
I think it, especially with hairstyles for black people, because we've entered a stage, an age, I think, where our natural hair, we have more pride in it maybe than we did at one point in time.
Right.
I think that that is something that the roots of that can be traced back to, like we were talking about earlier, in hip-hop and rap culture, where cats first started wearing braids or they started having their hair dreaded up, you know. And it's just like it has evolved into something else now where the kids do it, you know, their own way. And I think, you know, that's what, because when we talk about fashion, you know, hair is a part of fashion. Yeah. And then of clothes, of course. And
And a quick shout out to jewelry being a big part of fashion.
Right.
Fat gold chains.
Exactly. Because back in the day, during the 80s, you had rappers who wore gold chains. Fat boys had chains. Just about everybody had a gold chain. However,
Rick had many chains.
Exactly. Had a whole bunch of chains. Yeah, sort of the like Mr. T of hip hop. Yeah. Exactly. But as we broke into the late 90s and into the 2000s, we get actual jewel makers who are being shouted out by rappers. Jacob the Jeweler.
Is he in prison now?
I think he's jailed was making fake jewelry.
I had a gold 24 karat gold herringbone that I just thought herringbones
used to be big too at one point.
Yeah, and these are just pieces of jewelry that don't have any association with anything.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget grills.
We have what's the boy down in
Paul Wall.
He actually took that and stepped that game up, you know, and took it and actually marketed grills and made a lot of money off of that.
Well, we gotta say grills in the southern slang. They ain't say grill. They say it was grilled thot. Yeah. It was grilled thot. Back down in them days.
Well, because you know, a lot of times when the grill game really kind of took off, it was more in the South,
Oh yeah, definitely.
In other parts of the country,
right?
Or I should say the kind of epicenter of it was certainly in the South. Yeah. Yes. I mean, people have been wearing grills and stuff like that everywhere.
Since the 60s. Grandmama had a gold tooth in her mouth.
Right. But when the grill game really got big and people were wearing these entire fronts, that was more of a Southern thing.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yep. So.
And do y'all remember the doggone the rings, the three-finger rings?
Three and four-finger rings.
Yeah, not only used as a style of fashion thing, but also good for socking somebody in the mouth when they came at you the wrong
way.
Shout
out to Radio Raheem.
Right, because he had them on both hands.
Do the right thing.
Yeah, so.
But all of that, man, the four-finger rings, the grills, the gold chains especially.
Yes.
And then we saw at the early 2000s, it went to all platinum jewelry.
You had to step away from gold. Gold was considered almost like.
It was. And if you couldn't afford the platinum because it was super expensive, you had to get you some white gold.
Some white gold up front. Yes. Yeah, no doubt. Yep. A lot of relationships probably got damaged because a woman thought she was getting a platinum ring.
And it turned out it was
white gold.
There's
some problems going on right there after that. So, yeah.
But the main underlying theme on all of that is that all of that was hip-hop influence.
Yes.
And probably some of it on some levels would not have existed without hip-hop.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, that is the sole source of its origin, really.
Right.
Now, not necessarily with gold chains, because we know dudes been wearing gold chains since the 30s,
and that's my thing. Like, gold chains have been around forever, but it wasn't until guys like Jacob, and then there were some other guys, I can't recall any other names, but this became something where rappers were going to them to get custom-made jewelry made for them that costs a lot of money.
Right.
Thus, the reason I think Jacob is in jail, because he's basically swindling people.
Yep.
You paying $100,000 for a chain, You want real diamonds. Yes. You want real platinum. You know, and that's, you know.
Or the types of gold chain, because in the 80s it was the dookie rope.
Right. Yep.
It was the thick gold
chain. They used to call them, right. You know, and they call them ropes, as a matter of fact. Right. That's exactly what they call them.
Gold chain. Right. And if it didn't swing back and forth when you was walking, then, you know, your chain is too small.
Yes. Right.
It's really supposed to slide back and forth. And then, you know, like you said, with the hair and bones in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, the Jesus piece, as they call it.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody had to have one with a crucifix on it.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
even Biggie was rapping about that, though. Yeah. You know, with the Jesus piece and everything.
So. G-Unit, with, a matter of fact, probably some of Jacob's biggest clients had the, remember when the spinner rims was popular? Yeah. They had spinning jewelry.
Yes, they
so,
did.
So, that was real serious business back then.
Some of it seems absurd when you look at it now. Some Very of it was much absurd so. Then, but yeah. You know, that is the absurdity and the, MCM, when they started, they said they were ostentatious and flashy. Like, some of this is ostentatious and flashy.
Definitely
that's
flashy.
The epitome. And,
right.
But that is hip-hop. Yeah,
that's hip-hop.
In many
definitely,
it
yes.
is often ostentatious
and even and even today, even though the freedom of expression is more widespread, it's still ostentatious and flashy. It's still
that's what it is.
That well, yeah, way right now.
That's what it is. That's exactly right.
That, man. But we come a long way. I'm going to be totally real with you. Even though I'm a 90s person, especially when you're dealing with the hip-hop version, the rap version, today's fashion to me is just like I love it more now than I've ever have because of the fact that you're able to incorporate literally everything into your wardrobe and you won't be judged for it. It's never deemed as inappropriate. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
Like back when we wore the braids and the dreads and the high top phase back in the day, we can only do it within the hip hop culture. But now you can wear whatever kind of haircut you want, and it don't matter at this point because it's accepted more. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I give hip hop props for at least expanding to that to this version of fashion that we're dealing with right now.
No doubt. Well, we've run over our time a little bit here, but we wanted to, we had a few more points we had to make. Which I think we made most of those points. Would you guys agree?
Finally, I had to get it off my chest, right. Man.
So, as the preacher used to say back in the day, if all hearts and minds are clear.
Right.
No doubt. We're going to go ahead and give the benediction. So, folks, thank you so much for listening, especially if you've listened to all three segments on hip-hop fashion and how it has influenced American culture. And for those of you who have listened to this entire thing, we want to hear from you, too. So, hit us up on social media, on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Cindy's BDP. Of course, BDP is birthday party. We're on Instagram at Cindy's birthday party. We're on Facebook at Cindy's birthday party.
There you go.
But hit us up. Let us know what you think about what you've heard. If you enjoy this episode on hip-hop fashion, let us know what you think of some of the fashions you used to rock, what you think about what the fashion was then as opposed to now. Things you may wear now, things that you may have reminisced, gone down memory lane that you had back then. Just to give us some feedback on the episodes, whether it's good or bad, folks, we really appreciate it.
Right.
So for those of you who've listened to all of these episodes, we really appreciate it, and we love you. And
big thanks.
We'll have another episode for you next week, and that is it from me.
Hey, we're going to holler at y'all social media, same bat time, same bat channel next week.
Hey, definite big thanks to all of y'all out there listening. Like Danny said, please subscribe, listen, go to all your social media platforms and check us out.
Yeah, and you can also, one last thing I just want to mention, you can also go to our website, which is cindysparty.com, and you can also get us on iTunes, on Deezer, and a
Spotify,
few other places.
Yeah.
Pretty much any place you can listen to podcasts. Peace.
Holla.
We gone.